You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
The Auburn crowd can smell it. They can taste it. They can almost see Minneapolis.
I'm not even hungry and I can taste it.
The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family via Patreon.com. I'm not Van Allen Plexico. I'm, as always, the co-host, John Ringer. Welcome to the AU Wishbone. Van is not with us this evening, so this is a brief solo show to discuss the SEC basketball tournament and looking ahead to the NCAA tournament. There, even though Brian Harsin had a press conference this evening, there'll be no football conversation tonight. We'll save you from that, and we'll wait till Van gets back to jump into some of those topics. So first, I want to start out and talk about the Texas A&M game in the tournament, and then we'll move on to looking forward and positive things. So if you don't want to hear any thoughts on that, skip ahead about 2 minutes. So that was a tough loss. Auburn went into the SEC tournament, and I felt really good about it. I felt good about where we were and how we were playing as a team and how we were coming to the tournament and hit our draw and all that. And then it was really frustrating, just kept missing shots, getting in a huge hole, and then coming back and kind of losing at the end. Everything Texas A&M did worked, and what we did didn't work. It doesn't mean it was the wrong thing to do, though, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. I was not happy with some of the turnovers, and early on in the game, they beat us down court back on defense a couple times. I wasn't very happy on that. But offensively, Auburn took good shots, and the good shots did not go in. I know that's, you know, obviously people were like, oh, we should take, you know, different shots, but the reality is a wide open three-pointer by Jabari or Zepp, is it, especially in the spaces on the floor they wanted to be in when they're not off balance or anything, is a good shot. And Auburn, sometimes when teams get in an offensive funk, it's contagious and everybody starts clanging and they're trying too hard and it just kind of comes apart. And that's what happened to Auburn offensively. Texas A&M, you know, we killed them with the 2-point close shots early in the first matchup, the inside game, and they were not going to let that happen again. So they packed in the defense and said, we dare you. And it worked. Auburn couldn't make anything. If Auburn had shot better, it would have blown them out, but we didn't. And we lost. And so people think, oh, we should have done something different, but they were packed in close. We couldn't drive to the basket. We couldn't, you know, Kessler did a little bit, but this is the thing people need to understand. It wasn't just that the three-point shooting was bad. Other than Kessler, the two-point shooting in the first half was 16%, something like that. It was terrible. We couldn't hit anything. It didn't matter if it was a two-pointer or a three-pointer. So that was the biggest thing in that game. And there's a Auburn's basketball team subscribes to a service called Shot Quality Analytics. And one of the things they do is analyze, based on how well you shoot, how well this player shoots from this position on the floor over the course of the season, you know, what should they really, you know, in an uncontested three-pointer, for example, what should they really make, what percentage shots? And basically their number said, if both teams in that game take all the exact same shots again, they played the game again, and both teams took the exact same shots again, Auburn wins 77% of the time. And what they're saying is that the shots were good shots, it just didn't work. So it really was kind of a fluky thing where Auburn shot poorly and it bit us in the rear end and we lost. I appreciated that the team had this valiant comeback. They never, ever gave up. They fought as hard as they could, but it just didn't work. I think you're going to hear people say, and then people are going to think, is this a trick to beating Auburn going forward, kind of dare them to shoot and get in their head and stuff? But I think some of it was that arena. Right? We didn't shoot particularly well there when we played South Florida, and we, you know, A&M had played the day before and was comfortable with the rims that we weren't, and it just didn't work out for us that way. So I'm skeptical about the trick to beating Auburn is let us shoot wide open three-pointers. I'm going to be kind of skeptical about that. But that Texas A&M was just really good and really hot and played great basketball, and I'm going to give them some credit. I thought they were well-coached, and I thought, like, offensively, I couldn't believe some of their guys kept beating our guys one-on-one, particularly their big guy, but it just worked for them. They were well-prepared, and it worked. So, and then the last thing we got to talk about is Katie Johnson was just as ice-cold as you could possibly be as a human being, and I feel for him. I really do. But also, like, you need to understand, one of the reasons this team is successful is because Bruce trusts the players and has faith in them, and he's not going to say, don't do that. He's going to say, hey, you got it. You can do this. So I get it. I was unhappy after that game like everybody else, and I was frustrated and stuff, but I think what the team needs to do is just go home and shoot 8 gazillion shots, you know, every day, and get their stroke back and feel comfortable. But also, I think we need to do some stuff in terms of the team offense where we got some different looks. You know, we put people in different positions. We're not always starting with the pick and roll Kessler. We do some different stuff. At one point in one game, we did a high-low thing with Jabari at the foul line. I got him the ball with Kessler down low, and I like that. I like us to go to back some more of that. But that's all I want to say about the SEC tournament. So we're going to move on. Sunday night, the brackets came out, one of my favorite times of the year, watching the NCAA bracket reveal. Auburn will play Jacksonville State Friday at 12:40 Eastern time on True TV. So the first thing you need to do is go figure out if you got True TV or what channel that's on. That's the number one thing. It's 12:40 Eastern time Friday. So remember my warning from a while ago, if you're working this week, you better block out Friday to be able to watch that game. So if Auburn wins, they'll play Sunday against the winner of Southern Cal and Miami. All right, so a few thoughts about this. Again, Auburn was on the border, maybe getting a number one seed. They got a number two seed. They were the highest number two seed, so basically means the committee viewed them as kind of the fifth best team overall. So what that means is also we got the weakest number one in our region. Kansas was the fourth number one, and we got them in our region. I think it's a good bracket for Auburn. I like it, especially compared to some of the other brackets. Last time, I remember the team that made the Final Four run had this kind of all the blue bloods and really strong teams they had to beat, and I don't think it's as strong this time. Several people have tweeted this out, but basically in the KenPom advanced stat rankings, the region that Auburn is in has the worst number one seed, the worst number three seed, the worst number four seed, the worst number five seed, the worst number seven seed, and the worst number 10 seed of any of the four regions. So in all those regions, the region that Auburn is in has the worst of those rank of those teams at those seeds on this advanced stat rankings. Additionally, the number six team in our region is LSU, who fired their coach for, you know, 5 years ago, getting caught with a bag of cash in his hand, basically. And that was so we're not sure how well LSU is going to be able to focus in this game with all that going on. And they're the sixth seed. So Auburn starts Friday with Jacksonville State. What do I think about Jacksonville State? I'm going to be honest, it is really scary to me that the NCAA committee matched us up against an in-state school. An in-state school with a coach that knows Bruce Pearl. This is their Super Bowl. They have nothing to lose in this game. Now, they're 146 in those power rankings I mentioned earlier, 146 in the country. So pretty far down there, near some other teams that we played that were, you know, not great teams, but pretty far down there, right? So here's what I think about Jacksonville State and what I know about them. For number one, just the name, I'm still scarred by that football game and what happened then. So that makes me nervous. Number two, they're a short team. Tallest guys are like 6'7". So we ought to have a height advantage, rebounding, shot blocking, getting the ball inside to Kessler and Jabari, be able to do some stuff. This is a good team, despite what I just said about the power rankings. They played at VCU and at Wichita State and had, you know, good show. They lost both those games, but played well and were in the games. And then in December, they played at Alabama. They played them in Tuscaloosa and lost by 6 points. So that's the kind of team this is. They can hang around with an SEC team, especially an in-state one, when they're really fired up. This is going to be challenging from a style standpoint. They play very slowly and very deliberately. They hold the ball until the last second every single time to take their shot. They are a great three-point shooting team, 11th in the country. And they pack it in on defense and dare the opponent to shoot threes. Have you heard that before? Does that make you nervous? And the coach has a rivalry. He knows Bruce Pearl well. They coached in Division II against each other for years, and they were rivals there. So all this together, the knowledge of Pearl and how he coaches, the fact that they're a good shooting team and they're going to dare us to shoot threes, that kind of, and the pace thing where they're going to try to limit possessions basically and make it a lower scoring, closer game, make me nervous. Now, things that give me, you know, some reason for optimism are their size, but also they turn the ball over a lot. If they turn it over, we're getting some fast breaks and some easy baskets. We ought to be able to get up a decent amount of points. Also, I think we can go out there and defend their perimeter guys, get in their face, and cause them to take harder shots maybe than they're used to. Now, we're going to have to defend for a long time, and so we're going to have to play a lot of guys and rotate guys. But here's my feeling. There's going to be points in this game, you know, in the first half where the score is low, they're milking the clock, they're shooting threes, and if they're shooting well and we're not shooting well, it's not going to be pleasant for a while. But I think, you know, we're going to get some turnovers from them and get some scores off of that. And over the course of the game, I really think we're going to be able to abuse them on the rebounding side and get some blocks. And Kessler could have a really big game here with any time they try to do anything but a three, it's going to be a problem for them. So that's what I'm thinking about. I feel pretty good about it, but it's, again, I don't love getting matched up against an in-state school. We referenced in this podcast a while ago the Georgetown-Princeton game, and there's a little bit of that whiff of that in this, so that makes me nervous. Georgetown won that game, but it was 1 point, so it was like 50-49. So the overall bracket and the matchup for Auburn, I feel pretty good about the bracket for Auburn overall. Again, as I said, I think that we didn't get the most dangerous region in terms of the other teams in it. I think clearly conference tournaments did not matter nearly as much as everybody thinks they did. Texas A&M did not get in at all. Tennessee got a 3 seed and Duke got a 2 seed. You see a lot of that kind of stuff. So I feel like people are very unhappy with the seeding and all that kind of stuff. But one thing I think it says is they were really looking at the whole body of work. We hear that all the time, but they weren't just looking at the last 2 days and making big swings. They were 99% locked in on Thursday about what was going to happen, and they were only making minute changes based on the conference tournaments. It was really about the regular season, and that's one of the reasons that Auburn is, you know, was right there on the 1-2 line because of the regular season they had. So I do think SEC is in good shape in this tournament. I think there's a lot of good SEC teams, and I think that the conference is very strong. They're going to do some damage in this tournament. But I was surprised that Texas A&M did not get in. I thought they were, you know, better than some of these other at-large teams that got in. Notre Dame, you know, some of those kind of schools. I'm a little skeptical about that. All right. Van's not here, so I'm not going to read all the patrons, but y'all can imagine Van reading a bunch of silly names at this point. But I do want to thank the patrons for their support of the show. We couldn't do it without them. And we appreciate you and everything that you do to allow us to do this show and have fun talking about Auburn sports on it. So thank you for all you do. And the other thing I want to say for the patrons is that the AU Wishbone pool, the bracket challenge, is now open. You should have received an email from me with instructions. If you did not, please reach back out to us at auwishbone@gmail.com and we'll take care of it. But it's going to be on ESPN.com. We're going to have a little challenge for everybody in the patron group, and you're going to get to compete against Van Nuys and potentially Boris the Tiger, who crushed us in the bowl pick'em. But I'm feeling better about how I'm going to do in this versus the bowl pick'em, but we'll see. I'd also like to thank Jared for his continued support of the podcast and creating the Guess the Games, which have been really fun, and we get a lot of good feedback on. And I know that's a lot of work, but I want to thank him for that. So now we're going to go to questions from the Prime Minister. All right, here we go. We have a few listener questions. I'm going to read them, and then I'm going to answer them. How about that? First one. This is so good. This is from Cato the Barner, whose email subject line is "Hate it for ya." And he says, "Hey fellas, just a little smack talk because I can't resist. I'm jinxing the heck out of us by dropping smack talk about 11 hours before we play. Sorry, everyone. With their loss to Vanderbilt tonight." Yeah, he sent this Friday morning. "With their loss to Vanderbilt tonight, Alabama now has lost to four of the bottom five SEC teams. They even somehow managed to lose to Georgia. Hope you don't mind. I'd like to remind everyone how bad Georgia is by reading their conference schedule real quick. Loss, 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 win. Loss, 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 loss. Loss, 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 loss. Thanks, Cato the Jinxing Bleep Talker." And then he emailed Friday night and said, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry. Why did I bleep talk yesterday? I'm sorry, everyone. Cato the Regretful." So I do appreciate him stepping up and accepting responsibility for what he did. Our next question is from Theodore Roosevelt, who says, "We saw what kind of run Auburn went on when they played with actual urgency against A&M. Yet it took a 20-point deficit for the team to play serious basketball. They weren't doing this until 4 weeks ago. What happened? It's very unlike Bruce teams." As I talked about, I think this team does lose focus sometimes. I think... the urgency thing, they weren't quite at the same killer level on defense in the first half of the A&M game that they have been. But again, the offensive thing, I think was just fluky, honestly. But they did play incredibly hard to try to come back, and I think it matters. And I think it will carry over some in terms of they know that they have to come out and play like they're on fire against anybody they play, including Jacksonville State in the NCAA tournament. I think you're going to see them play with reckless abandon on defense in this game, for sure. Next question is from Samuel Salvatore, who says, "Hello, guys at War Eagle. Two words, March Madness. What was that team we brought to Tampa, in your opinion?" And I've kind of discussed this. I think it was, you know, the shots that, you know, should have fallen, that didn't. And I think, you know, there's a kind of a group psychosis things that happens with sometimes with bad shooting where it rubs off and the pressure gets more and more and more. And then people are trying to, instead of being loose and relaxed and shooting, they're kind of forcing it. And you end up where we were. So last question's from Jacob Lucas, who asked, "What year does Gus get fired if we never had Daniel Carlson?" And I'm going to save that one for Van, because that's a good theoretical football question. Van and I enjoy kind of pondering those together. So we'll work through that in the future. But that is a good list of questions. All right. That's it for listener questions. And the only around the SEC for this week is just a reminder of the bombshell that fell in LSU, where they got NCAA investigations against both the football and basketball program. And the basketball program ones are nuclear grade level, multiple Series 1 violations. And I'd like to thank, once again, Rich McGlynn for keeping Auburn out of NCAA trouble and not doing the kind of stupid things that LSU did in this investigation where, you know, not only have they fired their coach, but they're going to get the hammer dropped on them in terms of, you know, not being able to come to the NCAA tournament, that kind of thing. So, all right, that's about enough of me talking. I am very excited about the NCAA tournament. I love it. It's one of my favorite events of the whole year. I get excited all day, Thursday and Friday, watching the games. And my goal for Auburn is to make the NCAA tournament. And they're in it this year, so we get to see what happens, and I get to cheer them on. But I'm going to say, you got to cheer them for the first minute Friday. Nothing is guaranteed. We should beat Jacksonville State, and I feel good about where we are and in our region and all that, but we got to come out and take care of business, and this in-state school is going to give us everything they got on Friday. So we got to be ready for it, got to be ready to come out and play, and ready to make plays when they're there and take advantage of it. And don't be looking ahead and thinking about, we want this team or that team or any of that. Nah, Jacksonville State for 40 minutes is all we're thinking about. We can think about other stuff if we win on Friday. So we got to go take care of business, and that's what it takes. And if you're going to Greenville, I'm jealous, and good luck, and let us know how it is. So thanks for listening, and I hope it was enjoyable, and Van will be back. We'll record some fun episodes talking about what happened in the NCAA tournament and then what happens next with basketball and football. So as always, thank you for listening, and War Eagle.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.